The all-new season of Futurama is streaming on Hulu.
That's great, but I have to warn you, it's completely brilliant.
The interplanetary hit is back.
The very survival of Earth is at stake.
Is everybody okay? Is anybody hurt?
Nobody's okay. Everybody's hurt.
Watch the all-new season of Futurama.
That's the best damn show I ever saw.
New episodes Mondays, streaming only on Hulu.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley. I'm being joined by Matt Stevens, our staff writer, who is the football expert of our group, the man who gets to watch all the 15-minute slices of practice that a human being can possibly absorb for the Fighting Illini here. Hey, Matt, how are you doing today?
Well, that stopped about a week and a half ago, thanks to the paranoid mind of Brett Bielema. But and as I've always said, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean that people aren't actually, you know, paying attention to what you're doing. Right. That stopped about a week and a half ago. So all we've done now is talk to people about stuff we didn't even get to watch at all. So, welcome to college football season. And we're about 2 days away, Mike Kegley, from talking season being over. And thank God for it.
Oh, I am so excited. I'll tell you. This is our Wyoming preview for Illini guys subscribers and people who follow the Eye on the Illini. So Saturday, 3 p.m., the Wyoming Cowboys come to town and they are going to take on the Illini in a game that, I don't want to say it's a must win, but Illinois needs to start.
You do. I'll say it. It's a must win for Illinois.
they need to start off this season, in my opinion, 3-1. If they could go 4-0, that would be great. But I am I'm really concerned, to be honest with you, that the teams that are being played, they're not really cupcakes. Wyoming's a pretty good team. They've went to bowls in 4 out of the last 6 seasons, Matt,
including last year. Craig Bull's, coached in some national championship games at the FCS level at North Dakota State. So there's not exactly a precedent being set here that Illinois has decided in quote unquote week 0, which I hate. It's the opener. Yeah. They've played some quality opponents. And I know Nebraska went 5-7 last year, but they lost 6 games by less than a score. So, I highly doubt that, we don't have a gambling show, but like the over under on Nebraska is 7.5. And I actually am in the minority that I'll take the over. I think they're going to be really good this year. I think the 11.5 is more to do with the idea that I think what we'll get into maybe with Wyoming and what we'll get into maybe with Illinois, which is, Craig Bull's got a hell of a job on his hands this year simply because of the amount of turnover that this roster has overtaken at Wyoming. And I'm having to half remember the statistic, but there are 131 FBS teams this season in college football. And I think that they rank 128th in terms of returning production.
Yes.
So I think that there's an idea here that there's just so many new and almost maybe probably too many new pieces for Craig Bull and Wyoming fans to feel confident that they can roll into Champaign and expect to pencil in a W, which is why I think you're seeing the 11.5 point spread that you're seeing right now. So I think there's a chance for all of these new pieces to come together really, really well for the opponent that Illinois is going to see on Saturday afternoon. And then you're in trouble because I don't think you're going to see fundamental mistakes out of a Craig Bowles coach team. I think that they do the fundamental things that, quite frankly, you saw last year out of a Brett Bielema coach team in Illinois. They were the least penalized team in the Big Ten. Greg Bohl has a history of having the least penalized team in his league. They just fundamentally do everything that you're, you know, you would expect a team that's maybe not the most talented team even in their league every year to do in order for them to have the kind of success that they've had, which is, like you said, I think bowl games in four of their last 5 years. And one of the, you know, quite frankly, one of the group of five schools you probably don't want to see on your schedule early on as we go along here.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, even you can track down quotes. It's not hard to find of opposing coaches saying that, you know, Wyoming is one of the most well-coached teams in a group of five. They're disciplined. They don't make costly mistakes. And the defense really buys into their culture. So, I mean, that gives you an idea. And I think a lot of the question marks come from the fact that the quarterback position, you know, is going to have either Andrew Peasley or Evan Swoboda, with I think most people thinking Peasley's going to get the start.
Correct.
You know, so you've got a brand new quarterback, and of course that gives you a little bit of pause. But on the other hand, Wyoming was one of the worst passing teams last year, so this matchup could be this could be the movable object against the resistible force with the two offenses at play here. But that means this team managed to go to a bowl only averaging 163 yards a game passing last year. That's a pretty impressive feat.
Yeah, for the program that produced Josh Allen most recently, they yeah. really haven't relied on throwing the football even when they had Josh Allen. And so the idea is that Craig Bull is going to do what he – the funny part about this, Mike Hagley, is that when Craig was at North Dakota State, I remember this because it was his program that would knock off somebody, whether it was Iowa or Iowa State, pretty much every year about this time of the year. And it was pretty well understood that whenever Craig wanted to stop doing the FCS powerhouse thing, a Big Ten school was going to swoop up and take it. And in the process here, and I believe that was somewhere around, if I have this correct, somewhere around 2013, 2014. Is when he ended up taking the Wyoming gig. And for somebody who, you know, grew up in Lincoln, Nebraska, played at Nebraska, was a defensive guy, he just had the mentality of somebody that was going to come into this league and have a whole lot of success. He ended up choosing Wyoming, has stayed there, and has done really, really well for himself at a program that I think is considered probably one of the five best group of five schools in the country, you know, in tow with your, you know, your Boise States and of the world, and just again somebody you just don't want to see on your schedule in late August or early September, because those are the kind of teams that just kind of nip you every year, and Wyoming has a history of doing that.
Well, and the interesting thing is you know, with Scott Frost in the midst of all sorts of challenges, you sure. know, maybe Craig's somebody that they turn to if those Huskers manage to go yet another season where they don't play up to their talent level.
Correct. And I think that there's a lot to be said for, you know, Craig trying to get Wyoming on the map by taking out a Power Five conference opponent, even if that Power Five conference opponent is Illinois. And I think there's also something to be said for, and I don't mean to, like, you know, I'm not taking a shot at Illinois fans here. Don't confuse this, but Mike, you and I both know that Illinois officials are preparing for the worst attended season opener since the end of World War II. And so if you're Wyoming and you're trying to pick a quote unquote hostile environment in order to, you know, bring all these new pieces together and try to get a W, Champaign-Urbana and Memorial Stadium is not the worst place to try to pull that off at right now in 2022. And I think that, you know, that could be a place where that could be a situation in which Wyoming is going to feel comfortable, as comfortable as possible. You know, they at that point just kind of probably need to hang on or take an early lead and then just try to hang on. And that's, I think that stylistically also, you have to understand that Craig and Brett are, you know, Brett Bielema are pretty close friends, and they have been for a long time. And stylistically, they just see the game the same way. So I think that you're not going to see a whole lot of surprises out of either guy and how they approach this opener, simply because, like it or not, Illinois got a whole bunch of new pieces on offense, and Craig does too. So I think there's going to be a feeling out process, especially early on in that first quarter.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's interesting. And Wyoming is an interesting case study. They lost a running back who was second on the all-time rushing list for Wyoming, Xavien Valade. And I'm trying to figure out if this illustrates the transfer portal and the effect it can have on smaller teams, or if it indicates the NIL differences between an Arizona State and a Wyoming, or even both, because
I think the answer to your thought is yes.
Yeah,
I mean, and there's nobody that's been hit harder by the transfer portal than Craig Bohl over this offseason. Not a chance. And he's tried to pick it up through trying to go get FCS kids that can go up a level.
Yep.
And tried to get some kids that have been passed over. So the transfer portal give it, but I'm promising you in Laramie right now, they're telling everybody, well, the transfer portal took it, that of us. And that's why there's so many new pieces. That's why there's so much youth at the skill position players for Wyoming in their current depth chart that they're going to roll in Champaign with. And that's why I feel like their first quarter in Champaign is going to be a complete feeling out process against a defense in Illinois that returns a whole bunch of pieces and is in the second year of a scheme where they already had success in year one under Ryan Walters. So I think any kind of score that Wyoming could get in the first 15 minutes of this football game is going to be huge.
And it's probably going to come from Titus Swin, the running back who had 780 yards last year and had 7 TDs. So right. I'm thinking if you're going to build the team around somebody, you're probably going to get your one quote rock unquote that you can kind of go through. And
your Biletnikoff award watch list candidate is going to get the football a lot if you're, a Wyoming football fan. And that's another part of, Craig Bohl's not only stupid, but he's also, it plays into his hand of what he wants to do stylistically, which is physically see if Illinois can handle what they want to do up front and can run fit properly. Because if they can't, it's going to be a long day for this Illinois defense, because that's exactly what Wyoming wants to do anyway. So I really think that Ryan Walters is going to try to force Craig Bohl to play left-handed in a sense, or opposite-handed in a sense, because I think if Wyoming is being forced to throw the football a lot, Mike, that they're going to have a lot of problems. And that's why I think that Wyoming needs to either hang on early or take an early lead, because getting behind early in this game is not a recipe for a Wyoming upset at all.
Is this a, if you're Ryan Walters and, people talk about him as being, head coaching material, a game like this, where he can take on a guy like Craig Bohl, who's very well respected, shutting down this Wyoming offense it's almost like interviewing for a job, because it kind of, if he can shut these guys down, it really puts the Illini in a place where they start off a season on solid footing. And it's kind of a head to head matchup against a guy who's a peer going for bigger jobs.
I would think here's what I'll say to that is I think that Ryan understands, fairly or not, that if Illinois is going to win games, especially early on, it's probably going to be because of its defense.
Yep.
That's simply, again, because you've got a new quarterback in Tommy DeVito, announced on Thursday in the morning by Brett Bielema. You've got Chase Brown, who's going for back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons for the first time, I think, since the early 2000s at the very earliest. And then you've got a whole Isaiah Williams and a whole bunch of new pieces at wide receiver. So, yep. and you've got three new starters all in the middle of your offensive line. So offensively, you've got a lot to figure out, feeling out process wise, if you're Illinois, on the offensive side. And I think the only thing that they feel like is entrenched in experience and, ability for Ryan Walters to feel good in is the guys up front on the defensive line and the guys in the back secondary. And the reason I feel that way is because those are the guys that have had success last year and are just trying to get to another level. And I think Ryan understands that, Wyoming, when they go to Indiana on that next Friday night, when they host Virginia, they're going to have to win the games with defense, because trying to outscore, I think, those opponents is not going to be a recipe for success for Illinois at all in 2022, especially early on when you're still trying to figure out what's Tommy DeVito going to look like, what's this offense going to look like under Barry Lunny, and are they going to be able to throw the football at a more dynamic level than they were last year?
So, you know, knowing that Wyoming lost its both the starting cornerbacks to transfer, you referenced how hard the transfer portal impacted them. Is this one of the teams that the Illini wide receivers might be able to gain some confidence against, or even have the ability to create some separation beyond just Isaiah Williams?
You would hope so, because the guy that's throwing the passes has never lacked for confidence a day in his life in Tommy DeVito. So, I mean, Mike, he could be throwing it to you or Brad Sturdy or Larry at this point, and I think he would go out there and have the same kind of swag. I think
he would be disappointed in his results with the three of us, but yes.
Well, and that's the second part of why I think Tommy has that kind of swag, is that he has the ability to kind of look at receivers and go, you know, you're killing me, Smalls. Like, I mean, and Tommy has never lacked for confidence a day in his life. And if you don't think that Barry understands that, you're kidding yourself. So I do expect Illinois to take some shots down the field. For no other reason than, you know, I think Chase Brown, I think PFF had it before the season started, that Chase Brown ran in front of 8-man fronts, maybe more than any tailback in the nation's top 30 throughout the entire season. That can't happen again. And I don't think Tommy wants it to happen again. And look, I do think that Barry is going to take some play action shots. So, who steps up in that wide receiver room beyond Isaiah Williams is still a mystery. I think it could be Brian Hightower. I think it could be Pat Bryant, but it could be anybody in that room that's not named Isaiah Williams, quite frankly, you know, because I think a lot of them are going to play, and I think it's going to be a situation maybe like last year with Deuce Spann, who's now at Florida State, but just make a play. And if you start making plays and start getting confidence, guess what? You're going to be on the field more often, because I still think that Barry wants to have some tempo, and I, you know, I've dealt with this with Gus Malzahn for several years covering that program. You don't have tempo if you're substituting all the time. And I know that Barry wants to change the pace, but when they want to go fast, it's the same guys on the field that are going to be running the same plays. So if you're a wide receiver and you're on the field and Illinois is moving the ball, guess what? You're going to stay on the field. And so that's just going to give you more and more confidence. I don't know if, you know, Wyoming necessarily plays into Illinois' hand in that regard. I think week zero plays into Illinois' hand more than anybody. I don't know if the opponent really, really is indicative of what Illinois is going to try to do, because I'm here to tell everybody there will be no, God, let's not show Indiana this, you know, on Saturday. I promise you that's not in Barry Lunny's, you know, thought process. That's not in Ryan Walters' thought process. And it's sure not in Brett Bielema's thought process. They are trying to win this football game. And quite frankly, if you're Illinois and you're in Illinois and you're Brett Bielema and you're trying to get some momentum for the season, you probably need to win it quite convincingly in order to get some momentum for that Big Ten opener when you get to Bloomington, and a 4-game stretch, like you said, Mike Cagley, where, you know, 3-1 probably gets you going toward a possible bowl game. 2-2 starts to look a little shaky, and by God, 1-3 gets you, you know, gets you looking toward basketball season real soon in Champaign-Urbana. And so, especially with October being what it is, which is a complete, you know, minefield of, you know, quality opponents. It's just October is a complete disaster for Illinois schedule wise. And I think you've got to get some hay in the barn in September. And I felt that way at the start. And I don't think that it's inconceivable for Illinois to start 3-1 or even 4-0 when Brett Bielema rolls into Madison for the first time in over a decade.
Yeah. And I tell you, it's going to be, I look, you know, if they have an unexpected loss, Brett Bielema and the coaches and the players are going to fight, you know, to regain their footing. You know, they don't have the ability to sit around and talk and get upset and angsty about it like we do as people who cover the team.
Sure.
But I do think that for me, you know, Chattanooga again is a team that isn't a cupcake.
It's a good FCS program.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you've got, you know, what we're seeing with Wyoming and Virginia. We know how tough they are. We saw that last year. And the game that really scares me is Indiana, you know, on a Friday night in Indiana, and you're feeling, you know, maybe if we beat Wyoming, you know, they'll be feeling really good about it. And if you look past Indiana to Virginia, I'd hate to lose to an Indiana team. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying that human nature being what it is, I think we'll be happy that we got Brett Bielema as a coach, because he's going to keep them focused on that next game. But, you know,
the folks in Vegas right now, Mike, have Illinois as a 5-point dog in Bloomington.
Exactly. Right
now, so, I mean, at that point, you know, there are a lot of people who do this for a living that don't think Illinois should be favored in that game next week, which makes this Wyoming game, I feel like, equally, or, you know, almost as important, if not more important than any other game on your schedule. And the reason I feel that way is, you know, Brett Bielema hasn't, this can't be UTSA. This cannot be Eastern Michigan. And Illinois has dropped, you know, one of these group of five games pretty consistently throughout the Beckman, Lovey, first year of Bielema era. And if you want to get to six wins, I can't launch a path for Illinois to get to six without having Wyoming down as one, you know? And so that's as simple as I can make it for everybody, is that I think the 11.5 is not indicative of how good Wyoming is and how many questions Illinois has going into this game. I just don't. But you got to win it, because if you don't win it, I don't foresee a path to six wins and a bowl game without it. I mean, it's the unfortunate thing, Mike, is that if you look at the schedule, Wyoming might, as good as I think their program is, they might be arguably the second or at best the third worst opponent that Illinois has on their schedule, if you look at it from a preseason perspective right now. And so from that perspective, that's a game Illinois has got to win. And I've said it before, for all the people that are trying to tell me that we're not going to buy into this program until you show us something significant, I can't imagine what the attendance will be for these October games if you lose to a Wyoming and then you lose to an Indiana. You know, and maybe you start out even maybe 2-2, let alone like 1-3 going into October. Like I can't, you need people to show up for those games against Purdue and Iowa in October. And that's not going to happen if you start out 1-3.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And again, the other thing that we're hoping for is, you know, the Illini start off 3-1 or 4-0, you get that type of buzz, and then you get some more fans coming out. Memorial Stadium, for those of you who, you know, have only maybe seen a season or two of good Illini football, Memorial Stadium is a very tough place to play when the team is good, because it is a loud stadium. And then you couple it with the bizarre wind pattern that you can get in there. And it becomes a really good home field advantage for our Illini. I'm really hoping that they start off well, because I think getting the students involved would help elevate that. And then, to be real frank with folks, you know, any NIL donations, whether it's from your average individual who wants to go to IlliniGuardians.com and donate to the Illini Guardians to help the football team, or if it's, you know, a billionaire, you know, if Tom Siebel or Mark Andreessen are listening right now and they decide, you know, I want to help the program. Ohio State has put up a goal of $13 million for this season, and they're almost hitting it. So it's not that we want to be or expect Illinois to be Ohio State, but you need to understand what's out there. And I will say that, you know, waiting and seeing on Illini football is puts your coaching staff in a challenging position because they had nothing to do with the 30 years of crap that Illinois fans have had to wade through. But they do need, additional support on the NIL front to make sure that Illinois is an attractive place. And that's just the nature of the beast in today's thing. So basically, if you grew up listening to public radio or public TV, they would have that week where they beg for money. And I feel like that's something that your football programs are going to get. And if Ryan Day isn't too big of a coach to decide, that I'm not going to participate in that. And he's went out and asked for money himself. So that tells me that it's a big deal. And Illinois needs to address that.
Yeah, I would also add, and I don't mean to single him out, but I walk by it every day. And last I checked, Mike Keckley, parking spot number one at Memorial Stadium is still the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. The closest parking spot to the gate at Memorial Stadium is still a man named Khan. So he can probably help Illinois if and when he were to get that phone call as well. I agree with you. I think that ship has sailed. I've been told, again, you expect about 35,000 for this game on Saturday. I'd like to be pleasantly surprised and see attendance maybe start with a 4. It did last year in the opener with Nebraska. I don't know what's changed since that moment, in a sense, because I actually think 5-7 was, a program starter for Brett Bielema. And I know he doesn't feel that way, but I do. Again, you cannot have this opener wipe out all of the good feelings you got from 2021, even though it was a 5-7 season. And that can easily happen if Wyoming comes in here and wins. And they have enough talent to do it. The funny part about this whole thing is that, a lot of those guys probably entered the transfer portal and are at Power Five schools now. But the irony of this whole thing is that during the Beckman era, and certainly during the Lovey era, Wyoming recruited on about the same level as Illinois for a good stretch of time. And a lot of that reason, Mike Kegley, is because, you're not really, there's not a whole lot of regional recruiting competition for Wyoming, in a sense. You're recruiting against the Colorados and the Nebraskas, quite frankly, the North Dakota States of the world for trying to get kids. And you're trying to basically dominate the Mountain time zone, essentially, is what you're trying to do with how you want to recruit. And they've done a really good job with it. I mean, heck, one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League right now, came from Wyoming. And I think that Craig Bull does a really, really good job of taking guys who aren't seeing a whole lot of time at, say, a Nebraska or an Iowa. He's got those guys again, and the transfer portal works for him long before it was even the transfer portal. So I think from a talent standpoint, I don't think Wyoming is 11.5 points worse than Illinois. I don't. But I do think from an experience standpoint, meaning guys that you can count on at specific positions on both sides of the ball that you want to have confidence in, I do think Illinois is a double digit point ahead of Wyoming in this regard. And I think, Mike, you hit it on the head, is that if Wyoming comes out of this gate and struggles and Illinois does not, I think you are seeing the cavernous difference between, really, really good group of five and kind of rebuilding Power Five. Yep. And what I mean by that is if you're a really, really good group of five, guess what? Those rebuilding Power Fives, or even some of those good Power Five schools, they want your players, and now they have a really, really good chance of getting them without having to sit out, by the way. And I think that Craig Bull is going to have to deal with that over the next few years. And this is game one of pretty much having to deal with that. He is probably going to start somebody, Mike, who last year was Utah State's backup quarterback. That's not to say that the kid can't play. I think that he's very, very talented. And within their scheme, he has the same amount of experience that Tommy DeVito has game-wise in Illinois' scheme. Let's just be honest about it. But I think from a talent for talent, player for player. This is one of the few games, Mike, on offense that Illinois has more talent at the skill position players on offense than their opponent does. And I think that they need to exploit that. And so that's, it'll be interesting to me. You know, finally, I'll wrap it up like this. There are questions about this Illinois team that I want to get answered in the first 10 minutes of the first quarter, which is, you know, who are some of the guys that are going to be playing a lot that are still kind of mysteries in my mind? You know, guys like, who's the opposite corner of Devin Witherspoon? I think it's Taz Nicholson, but I think it could be a rotation of a lot of guys. You know, how much does Gabe Akis play at outside linebacker opposite of Seth Coleman? I think it could be a lot. It might not be anything. And, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, is Pat Bryant ready to step up? Because I talked to him the other day coming out of practice, and he's very, very excited about, quote-unquote, the options that Illinois has with for its wide receivers in this offense. I think he could make an impact. Is Brian Hightower ready to make that impact? You know, and how much of the depth of their running back room are they willing to use beyond Chase Brown? Because Josh McCray is really good too. And I've been hearing really, really good things throughout the entire fall about Reggie Love. So I think if Illinois wants to stay consistent with who they are on both sides of the ball, I think you could see a lot of new names and new faces before we hit halftime of this game. And that will define how Illinois looks throughout this season, is how much confidence they have in some of these inexperienced young guys.
Good, good. Well, I tell you what, it's an interesting season. And, you know, I guess the only thing I can tell Illini fans is, you know, this team is going to be, we know that with a Brett Bielema team, they're not going to give up. They're going to play hard. They're generally going to play pretty good defense. They're not going to make many mistakes to kill themselves, although humans being what humans are, it's out there. The other thing I think from a hope standpoint is we saw last year Kirby Joseph went from who's that guy to one of the best safeties that Illinois has had in the last 30 years.
Right.
So who's up next? You know, Urban Meyer was big on his next man up. Or next woman up, depending on what he's doing in the evenings. But the bottom line is you know, is there somebody that we aren't thinking about that this coaching staff has identified, given time, developed, you know, worked hard in the off season? That's part of the charm of college football, because that happens across the country.
Do you? I mean, like, you've been on the periphery on this, Mike, and obviously I've been embedded in this day to day. Do you have a guess of who you think you'd like to see that be?
I would like it to be one of the two wide receivers that you just mentioned.
Pat Bryant or Brian Hightower?
Yes, because you know, you've got a couple good tight ends to take some attention. You've got an offensive line that's pretty good run blocking line. You've got a raft full of running backs. And, you know, you have Isaiah Williams that people are going to know where he's at every minute of every game.
Right.
And that leaves somebody I mean, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm going to tell my other cornerback, you got that guy and just guard him. Okay. He's not that good.
Right.
And if there's an opportunity here, one of those two gentlemen or both stepping up turns this team into something a little more than what we anticipated. The other side, the other side is, maybe I'm just being naive here, but the guy that I really want to see play uninjured for a season is Keith Randolph.
Yep.
Because I think he can be something special. Now, can he make it to the level of a Mo Gardner? I'm not certain on that, but I think with his athleticism, his personality, his size, I think you've got a player that could be a difference maker. And if he's not hurt playing at his top of his ability, I think he's a guy that could start at almost any school in the country up to, you know, until you get to maybe Alabama. Because you don't teach, I've watched him play basketball. You don't teach his athleticism. God either gave it to you or he didn't.
And he gave it to
me. Yes, he did. And so I really, again, I'm a little bit of a Keith Randolph mark going to wrestling. A mark is a guy who's a fan of a certain wrestler. But I really want to see him without any nicks and cuts and any serious injuries. I want to see what his ceiling is, because I think it's going to be pretty high. So now I'll let you take over.
I think his ceiling is Whitney Marcellus. I'll just say it.
And but he's bigger. I'm
identifying a first round pick in the National Football League draft who is a disruptive pass rushing force in the National Football League.
And I agree with you.
I think that's his ceiling. I think right now, I don't think it's out of the question that Keith Randolph be described as a poor man's Whitney Marcellus right now when he plays and he's healthy. And I think the combination of the law firm, he and Johnny Newton, can be really, really good this year. I'll give you a guy on both sides of the ball. Okay, that I think that people are going to go, wow, that's somebody I wasn't expecting to make an impact. All right. We'll start with offense, and this is a cop-out answer because he's going to start, okay? But I don't think people thought heading into fall camp that he was going to be as relied upon offensively as people thought, and that's Tip Riemann.
Yep.
I think Tip Riemann could end up being somebody who is draftable at the end of this year in the National Football League. And if not draftable, we'll make a key team in training camp if he wants to take that option, or he could by the end of this year. I think Tip Riemann could get in the conversation for all Big Ten honors at tight end.
Okay.
I do. They are really, really high on him, to the point in which it became plainly obvious that if they go with one tight end, he was going to start.
And Bielman knows tight ends, right?
Four days into camp, we realized if there's only one tight end on the field and there's three wide receivers out there, Tip's going to be the tight end. So he progressed last year. There's a level of maturity out of him. And I'm telling you, Tommy DeVito really, really likes the idea of using the tight end in this offense. He just does, which doesn't eliminate Luke Ford. Don't get me wrong, but I think Tip's going to have a much bigger impact. I feel that. Very, very strongly. On defense, Isaac Darkangelo, because we know who the middle linebacker starters are, and that's Tyreek Barnes and CJ Hart, right? I have not heard anybody say to me that any different, whether it's Andy Boo, whether it's Ryan Walters, or it's Brett Bielema, they consider it a fact that they have three starters in that inside linebacker room. And Isaac Darkangelo, who is, as of we're recording this right now, still a walk-on right now at Illinois, a former Division II transfer from Northern Michigan, I think he's going to make an impact. I don't know if he's going to make a CJ Hart impact like he did in last year's opener. I'd like to hope that Isaac plays a heck of a lot longer than CJ did last year. But when you're thinking about having to rotate guys in and out on that second level of the defense because they're going to be running from sideline to sideline and be playing physical football like they expect out of their middle linebackers, I would expect Isaac Darkangelo to take a whole bunch of snaps, whether it's replacing Tyreek when he needs a blow or whether it's replacing CJ when he needs a blow at that Will and that Mike spot. That's a guy that they consider, if he's not one of the first 11 on the field, he's the 12th guy that will be the first guy running out on the field. And I think that he could make an impact. So those are two guys that I think could make a significant impact that maybe won't be announced as starters. Tip will be announced as a starter. It's just a surprise start if you were paying any attention beyond spring ball. But Isaac Darkangelo, I don't believe will be announced as a starter. I would not be shocked if in the first drive, Wyoming drive, he's on the field somehow, some way. So those are two guys that I'm looking forward to seeing. There's a lot of I'm also interested in – I'll leave it at this – the dynamic of how the game kind of plays out. And, well, Matt, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is, and I've written about it on Illini Guys, is that all three coordinators for Illinois are going to be on the field for the first time in the Brett Bielema era. Why is that important? I just think it's going to make for you know, cohesion, and it's going to make for tempo to be a heck of a lot easier when you've got Barry Lunny on the field calling the offense and you've got Ryan Walters on the field calling the defense. I fully expect that there will be less, and there wasn't last year with Tony Peterson, believe it or not. They were one of the least penalized teams in the Big Ten, if not the least penalized team in the Big Ten. I think pre-snap penalties will be at a minimum with those guys being able to look everybody in the eye and say, this is what I want, this and be able to communicate that way. I think it'll be make for a big impact. So I feel the rhythm of the game will be very, very good with these three guys, whether it's in, and what I mean by that is Ryan Walters on defense, Barry Lunny on offense, and then Sean Snyder on special teams. I think those three guys will make a huge impact by being on the sideline for this opener on Saturday. And so everything I've heard about the scrimmages and the practices and whatever they've been doing in fall camp has been clean. So I don't suspect that once the bullets start flying on Saturday at 3 o'clock, that anything but a clean game could be expected out of Illinois. And if that's the case, then you're not allowing for the quote unquote stupid penalties and stupid mistakes to creep in and allow Wyoming to take a football game because you didn't play to your capability from a, you know, fundamental standpoint. I don't think that's going to happen. So I think that that's something that Illinois fans are going to want to look for. You know, they're going to be looking for it on offense. Every Illinois fan is going to sit there and go, I want this offense to look like something that I want to watch.
Right.
I think you have the best chance of that happening with Barry Lunny being on the sideline and being able to see the game from that perspective, and being able to talk to Tommy DeVito, you know, after every possession, maybe even in between snaps, you know, get a feel of how he's looking, how he's feeling, do some check with me's on the sideline where they get to the line of scrimmage quick. And then they kind of look over at the sideline. Are we good? Kind of thing. I think you could see all of that with Barry, and I'm interested to see how that works.
So I'm gonna kind of give a wrap up here, just so you guys know. Matt and I had to predict a score for the game. So Matt has come in with Illinois 31-20.
Sure.
So that's a nice cover, and I came in at Illinois 24-10. I'm still a little questioning on the Illinois offense. I'm very bullish on the Illinois defense. So, folks, we're excited. We wait, you know, we spend half of our year talking about what's going to happen on Saturday. And we like talking about what has happened already on Saturday, rather than 9 months of what's going to happen. So this is a big weekend. If you are excited about this and you're within driving distance of Champaign, come to the game. There's some great ticket deals. There's some good seats left, and it's a lot of fun. The weather looks like it's going to be a nice day to see football, and your voice will be appreciated in the crowd. You want to hear, obviously, our coverage on it, IlliniGuys.com. Go ahead and subscribe. $99 a year. You get all of the things that Matt does with the football team and all of the coverage that he's involved in. Plus, you get some additional coverage on recruiting. Kedrick Prince will throw in some stuff. Matt throws in his 2 cents. And, of course, we have Mike Farrell, the godfather of college football recruiting, who is there to talk a little bit about it as well. And then when you're looking at a radio show to listen to as you're driving down to Memorial Stadium, check IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button before you get in the car to drive down, or you can just go ahead and listen to it you know, be able to be ready for the game. Matt's on this week, myself, Illini guy Larry, Illini guy Brad. We spend a lot of time talking about it, the Illinois-Wyoming game. So please take a listen to us. And again, IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button. You can find the city and then the signal and what time they have it on. There's many places that you can listen to us throughout the state of Illinois. We also have other podcasts. You can listen to this podcast on your way down to the game, or you can save this for the tailgate and have it playing. My melodious voice along with Matt's musical voice would make for a fantastic background as you're grilling up some brats and having some food before the game. And of course, we also have Sturdy's Sturdy for 30 podcast, and we have Kedrick's Ked's Recruiting Roundup that you can listen to. And again, we are really excited to have football season here, and we'll be here every step of the way. You'll get a podcast after the game where Matt breaks it down along with myself and Brad and Kedrick. So that'll be fun. Listen for that around 6 o'clock-ish or maybe 7 o'clock-ish on Saturday night. And that'll give you something to take apart the game on. And let's all hope it's an Illini win. Matt, you got any final words? I like to do that as soon as he hits the mute button on his
apologize for that. no, I think we've wrapped it up. I think Wyoming is a quality opponent to start Illinois with, simply because of their history of being able to knock off Power Five, or at least stay in the ballgame with Power Five conference opponents each and every year that Craig Bull's been there. And there are so many question marks for this Illinois team going into 2022. You know, what's the offense going to look like? Can the defense hold the fort the way they did last year? Brett Bielema laughed about it today or Thursday afternoon when he made the announcement, but Tommy DeVito is going to have to be a big part of Illinois getting to a bowl game. And I think people want to see what he's going to be like in a new offensive system with almost a wiped slate clean from what he was at Syracuse. And there were a lot of elements at Syracuse to not help Tommy out. And I think that they've put at least a lot of elements in place to help Tommy out a little bit with this offense. And I'm looking forward to seeing how this goes, because I think this is not a dress rehearsal anymore. I think Illinois has to look good. And I think for a lot of different reasons, but I think they know, like I've said before, they need to make some progress W-wise in September, because October is just one heck of a minefield of quality opponent after quality opponent. And in order to get to 6 wins, August 27th's got to go down as a W.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, we'll leave it at that, folks. I'll add 3 additional letters. When you hear ILL, you're going to chant INI, and then you should also be saying NIL. So let's go and let's hope this team goes out and kind of answers some of those questions and starts to get some interest from Illini Nation, as so many football fans are dealing with 30 years of Illini football PTSD. And let's remember, none of these players and none of these coaches had anything to do with it. So with that, this is Illini Guy Mike. And everybody have a fantastic weekend. And, oh, by one final thing, the Illini guys will be at Guido's on Friday night before the game from 7 to 11, raising a little bit of NIL funds. You can go, and it's down in the basement, $25 a person. There will be, there will be some Illini women's basketball players there. There will also be some ex-Illini players who from the past, and they'll be a lot of fun. So feel free to stop by there. And, of course, we will have a tailgate in Grange Grove. Look for the Illini Guys OSF booth. We would love to see people at that as well. So thank you very much, and go Illini.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
Ever dream of a 3-row SUV where everything for every passenger feels just right? Introducing the all-new Infiniti QX80. With available features like biometric cooling, electronic air suspension, and segment-first individual audio that isolates sound right to the driver's seat. Discover every just-right feature in the all-new QX80 at InfinityUSA.com.
2025 QX80 is not yet available for purchase. Expected availability summer 2024. Individual audio cannot buffer all interior sounds. See owner's manual for details.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Brushed Up knows you'd do anything for your cat. From getting them food that's nicer than yours to letting them take a midday nap on your keyboard. So why settle for basic litter? Switch to Fresh Step. Fresh Step cat litter locks in liquid and odor on contact, giving you up to 15 days of odor control. Learn more at freshstep.com. Step it up to Fresh Step with superior odor control. Versus leading value clumping litter, Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Febreze is used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.